Everybody.
Good morning.
Welcome to the Sunday morning adult discussion group, Wings Christian Fellowship. And I have an announcement today for all the people listening in. We will not be here on the 25th or the 1st because the holidays fall right on the Sunday. We are going to take a few weeks off to be with friends and family. So we'll see you back here the first Sunday the 8th of January.
Yeah, it'll be the 8th.
And in the meantime, though, we need a volunteer to pray for today's lesson.
Oh, Lord, thank you for another day.
thank you,
Brenda. thank you for another day, Lord. Another day to be with you and another day to hear your word, Father. And Father, just let us hear what you have, what the word says to us today. And Father, thank you for this time of the year, for the season, and the upcoming birth of your child. Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, I believe as Clyde reminded me to mark down where we stopped last week, we stopped at 18. So that's what we did. But I think according to the little subtitles in my little Bibles that I look at, there's a heading at 17. So let's go back one verse and start with 17. And let's go to 17 to 24.
What chapter are we in?
Chapter 7, 1 Corinthians, chapter 7, verse 17. And we're going to 24. Mm-hmm. And Buddy will be reading it out of the Amplified Bible.
Okay, starting with verse 17. Only let each one seek to conduct himself and regulate his affairs so as to lead the life which the Lord has allotted and imparted to him and to which God has invited and summoned him. This is my order in all the churches. Was anyone at the time of his summons from God already circumcised? Let him not seek to remove the evidence of circumcision. Was anyone at the time God called him uncircumcised? Let him not be circumcised. For circumcision is nothing and counts for nothing. Neither does uncircumcision. But what counts is keeping the commandments of God. Everyone should remain after God's calls him in the station or condition of life in which the summons found him. Were you a slave when you were called? Do not let that trouble you. But if you are able to gain your freedom, avail yourself of the opportunity. For he who as a slave was summoned into union with the Lord is a freeman of the Lord. Just so he who was free when he was called in a bond servant of Christ the Messiah. You were bought with a price, purchased with a preciousness and paid for by Christ. Then do not yield yourself up to become in your own estimate slaves to men, but consider yourself slaves to Christ.
Amen.
So brethren, in whatever station or state of or condition of life each one was when he was called, let him continue with and close to God.
Wonderful. Well, let me read just one or two of those verses in the Passion Translation. I just love this translation. Mm-hmm. It says, may all believers continue to live the wonderful lives God has called them to live, according to what he assigns for each person. For this is what I teach to believers everywhere. Now, if when you were called to follow Jesus, you were circumcised, it would be futile to try to undo the circumcision, which I can't even imagine. Mm-hmm. And if you were called while yet uncircumcised, there's no need to get circumcised. And then I'm going to stop there for just a second. Because these are, they're talking about circumcision of the flesh. You know, mm-hmm. and that, I mean, we have a new and a better covenant. We are not under that law. Mm-hmm. I don't even know in the Ten Commandments where that is. That's in somewhere in all those traditions of men. Mm-hmm. So, then it goes on to say, your identity before God has nothing to do with circumcision or uncircumcision. What really matters is following God's commandments. And I think there's a whole lot in there that we can discuss today, that what are the commandments of God? You know, is that the law? Is that, you know, what as New Testament followers of Christ, what are the, quote, commandments we are called to follow? And it says, so everyone should continue to live faithful in the situation of life in which they were called to follow Jesus. Okay, that's all, you know, out of there that I really wanted to say. There, you know, there's so much more to any conversation about circumcision or uncircumcision and following the law. And this says the important thing is that we follow the commandments of God. And I think that we need to decide what is following the commandments of God under the new covenant. That's right. Well, and I was also thinking of, I was looking up some stuff in here this morning, and it said, commandments, well, I could find it, but I'm not going to, but Jesus was saying, the commandments from God to me is, that I should say what he tells me to say mm-hmm. and do what he tells me to do. Mm-hmm. And that involves a lot more than the fleshly. It even follows, it's a lot more than following the law physically. Because you remember the young leader who came and he said, I followed all these from my youth. Well, maybe he did, maybe he didn't. We don't know. But he was under the impression that he had. So, you know, it's not just that. There's something so much deeper in following Jesus and through Jesus having a relationship with God, our Heavenly Father, hearing his voice, having an intimate relationship, and when you hear him, and that's the only way you can mm-hmm. hear him, when you hear him, do what he tells you to do. Say what he tells you to say. So, given all that, I think that might be a good, you know, place to start the conversation.
Good, because Jesus said, I only do what my Father. So we're to be as him, mm-hmm. to do what he has. And then when that young ruler, what did Jesus tell him to do after he named yes. all this that he does?
Sell it all.
Everything, come fall, put it away.
Exactly.
Because there's where his heart and blessed. Mm-hmm. Where your treasure is at.
Yes.
Mammon.
I always thought that sounded backwards, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. but it isn't. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Mm-hmm. It should be where your heart is. That's where your treasure mm-hmm. will be. You put everything mm-hmm. into where your heart is. But if you put your, it's where your treasure is. That's where your heart will be.
He's okay. Our treasure.
I thought it was interesting that those seven verses, twice it says, each person should remain in the situation that they are in.
Mm-hmm.
When God called them. So, you know, when we all came to the Lord, that did, you know, our lifestyle didn't change. Our spiritual lifestyle changed. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, he's not telling them that you have to go out and do everything that you think that you know about, that you do on an everyday basis, you have to change that all around. That's not what they're talking about here. They're talking about taking your responsibility to God. Your responsibility to God is what changes.
But when you think back when he called you and then saved you and is saving you, mm-hmm. there are things you no longer desire to even do for that because of the change that he has brought within, you know, within you.
And
so you don't have to try to do this.
That's right.
To do that.
That's what I'm saying.
It's life within that so changes you as you're going forth.
Yeah, your situation changes, not by what you do, but what God, does it.
Yeah, and on the outside, when I got saved, I didn't quit smoking, you know, right away. The stores Aldi, Aldi. The Aldi stores are a family-owned operation, and that whole operation split right down the middle, the two brothers owned it, over a fight over whether or not they shall sell cigarettes. So Aldi in the U.S. does not sell cigarettes, and Aldi in other countries do sell cigarettes. The silliness involved with thinking that any of this has to do with earthly matters. We are so much more than what we thought we were when we got saved. We're children of God, you know? And Jesus even said, Father, the glory that you gave to me, I've given it to them. We have the power, because God has given it to us, to keep this earth going. He even said, you know, how long are you going to let this earth spin out of, you know, you are my sons. We have the power within our spirit, within the Spirit of God that gives us life. To call those things that are not as though they are and to bring them into existence. We don't know it. Some of us know it more than others. But there is so much more to being this Son of God, these children of God, than we have ever yet experienced to the full. And we will, hallelujah, because when we see him as he really is, we're going to be like him. Oh, what am I doing? Am I preaching a sermon today? Go ahead. Blah, 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 blah.
Do you know you're talking about smoking? And I can't say that I can tell you the month and the year, but you know, some people can tell you a date that day. But the way God dealt with me, and you were talking about smoking. I was smoking almost two packs of cigarettes a day. Chesterfield King. And when God called, you know, I was sitting and reading the Bible, and I'm just smoking, and I looked at my hand and I said, what am I doing? I had no desire, they didn't even taste or anything. And I felt silly doing it. And I threw, you know, I know some people have struggled with that. I had a sister that didn't. All her life, I know, because the addiction that you have to it, and God deals with everyone differently. And I never smoked anywhere like that anymore. But when my sister got saved, her husband said he smoked one brand of cigarettes and she smoked another. He bought two cartons and came home, and she went in and told him we were staying in our mom and dad's. How she had accepted the Lord and got saved, and he said, I believe you're saved when I see you, because he knew how heavily she smoked. He said, I believe you're saved when you don't smoke one of them cigarettes. And she said that some days that she had a desire, and she said, I just went and prayed and just asked God, and he took the desire away. He ended up taking that carton back. Nowadays, they took her back and traded her for another, but ended up. This was a witness to him that he knew the changes in her life, you know, from that. And I think God is so faithful to us and how he draws us and how he speaks to us and each one of us. He just calls
that
us.
That is a good way to describe that feeling that you get. There are days when you have that desire, but you pray. And that's why living is one day. One day. We walk with God daily. And when, you know, and when there's a desire for anything that is not of God, we let God take care of it. We take it to Him and say, God, You are glory.
Even when her walk had got so it didn't seem close to the Lord, she never went back to smoking. Mm-hmm. To this day, she's never been back to God.
I think it would be interesting to know how many people have had a tug from the Lord and know that he's calling them, but didn't go forward because of they were afraid that what they would have to change in their life.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. What they're going to have to give up.
Yes.
What they're going to have to mm-hmm. do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you think that's true? It seems that looking back on it, I gladly give up anything mm-hmm. for the joy that I have in my heart today.
But at that time.
But at that time.
No, because I know people I've mm-hmm. talked to, and mm-hmm. they go, "What am I going to have to be doing?"
Yes.
What, you know, they were looking at. The
what if I
they
if
had
I do if I do this up. If I go and give my life for the Lord, what am I going to have to do? Am I going to be able to do this? Am I going to be able to do that?
You have to give him everything.
You know.
I was at a church last night, I'm not naming the church, but a dear sister of our little sister's group invited me, and she asked me to write a poem. Mm-hmm. And I said, I'm so busy doing all this moving in the world, we're still straightening stuff and all. And I was going to look for a poem that I had previously maybe written that would fit this, but in the midst of all this, I ended up going, and God gave me a poem that I read, you know, there, you know, last night. But you can go into some churches that have been under the law, I'm going to say, and you should dress a certain way, and you should, you know, this is what, and I can see some of these things they still were clinging to. But see, you still love them in spite of
Absolutely. What
light that they have not, you know, received or under, and that the revelation that they've not, because I saw how much they love the Lord. I went there and saw, I haven't seen, I can't tell you many years, a niece and a nephew of mine, because I looked at the program, and there was my name, and I looked underneath above me, and I said, that's my niece. It was my ex-husband's nephew and wife. And I can't tell you last time I saw them many years ago, because they lived different places, and now they're back in Springfield. But I thank God how he brings people, and they sat with me, and they were so glad, and they took my phone number. I just know how God puts those in front of us for us to love. And I just thought it was so precious. And then this other brother, him and his sister sang, and I said, that name is familiar. And I went up to Tobias, knew him, and he knew Tobias, and I went up and said, I'm Tobias's mother. He said, oh my goodness, and him and his sister, they hugged me, you know. I just thank God for the, and they invited me, of course, to come back and all, but I said, I thank God for those that he brings in our path, and those that I know he's having us, that we love one another, we minister to Christ, that we, even though they have some traditions, you leave all that to God, because you can fellowship with them and love them because of the Christ.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We had a get together yesterday for our granddaughter, her recital. And we had exes and family members. Mm-hmm. That, mm-hmm. And you know what I got from the Lord that day? Because in the past years, Lord only knows the drama that goes along with these kinds of things. And I said, here's my whole plan for the day. Just be Jesus to them.
Yes.
Just be
Jesus
to them.
Yes.
Period. You know, nobody can argue with that.
Mm-mm.
And to me, the day went just beautifully.
Beautiful.
Just beautiful. And things that I had seen in other people, because I chose to see them in the past,
mm-hmm.
and they would offend me oh, she was rather cool. Oh, this girl, that, that I did. I saw none of that today. And you know, when I was in, on the way home, I thought, well, you know what? I don't think she's changed at all.
It was you.
God changed
me.
I didn't see it because it wasn't in me. It wasn't in me any longer. And so, you know, people can't offend you if it's not in you to see it. Oh, you know, that's a good word. I'm telling you, even if it came out of my own mouth, it's a good word. Wow.
Yes.
You know.
Because of.
It's so precious.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Come on, jump in, Brother Oscar.
Well, I'm just sitting back listening.
He likes to have a chance.
I like to listen.
Bit, huh?
I like to listen. You know, a lot of things that, that y'all said, I mean, I agree with everything you said. I mean, you know, I know, you know, I smoked. You know, going back to the smoking, I smoked from the time I was about 5 or 6 years old up until I was about 20-something.
God blessed you. He blessed them lungs.
You know, I had older sisters that smoked, and they would give me cigarettes to keep me from telling on them. So, you know, so, but I, the Lord had taken smoking away from me before I got saved. Mm-hmm. I was standing, and I think that was part of the beginning process of it. I was standing at work one day, and I had bronchitis a lot and stuff like that, you know, and I would have colds a lot, and I think a lot of it was due to smoking. And I had just bought a new pack of cigarettes, and I was actually coughing, and I think I had a little bit of chest cold or whatever. And I had tried to quit smoking many, many times and just couldn't do it because it was so addictive. And, you know, I used to tell myself, oh, I could quit these things anytime I wanted to. And I couldn't, and I tried and tried different times. And I was standing there, and I just prayed. And I hadn't committed my life to the Lord at that point. I was 20, 21 years old. And I just prayed, and I said, Lord, please help me quit smoking. I said, I can't do it, you know. Never smoked another cigarette after that. He just took it away. And I had just bought a brand new pack of cigarettes, and I didn't even open them. And they were laying on top of my toolbox, and I think about a month or so later, I gave them away to somebody that worked behind me. This guy smoked behind me. But, you know, he took that away. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was good because that was a reassurance that God could do something really miraculously instantly in my life. You know, I mean, he had healed me from the epilepsy as a kid, but that was, you know, the beginning there. And then, you know, the thing about even the circumcision and all that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. you know, that was a sign that God gave them in their flesh at one point. But also, what they don't tell you, historically, a lot of the Egyptians and people like that, some of them circumcised their young too. Mm-hmm. But God gave... He gave Abraham the sign of circumcision, and mm-hmm. and you know, the reason that he carries on about that so much in this portion of scripture is because, like Paul said at one point, they tried to spy out and see if these people who had become Christians, they would go in and actually try to look at them when they were using the bathroom mm-hmm. to see if they had been circumcised. And then they were telling these new Christians that they needed to be circumcised. And, you know, he got right on them. And he told them, he said, no. And remember what the Lord did with Peter. You know, when Peter, he sent him to, I can't remember the guy's name, Ralph Hint. Cornelius's house. Yeah, he sent him to Cornelius's house. Because Cornelius had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But before that, before he sent him there, Peter was up on the roof and God gave him a vision. And in this vision, a sheet was let down and all of these animals that were ceremoniously unclean animals for them to eat. Mm-hmm. And the Lord told him, rise, kill and eat, Peter. And Peter said, not so, Lord. I mean, he's arguing with God. Not so, Lord. He said, I've never ate anything unclean or anything like that, you know. And the Lord told him, he said, well, what I have cleansed, if you call it unclean, you know. And you know, it's kind of funny, but really, God a lot of times has to graphically sometimes deal with you about things. And when he graphically deals with you, then you tend to never forget it. You know what I mean? And you know, I've shared this before, but I was laying in the bed one Sunday morning, and I just woke up, and I'm just laying there, and the Lord started speaking to my heart about circumcision. And I'm thinking, okay, you know, this is strange. Why are you talking to me about circumcision? And what I felt like the Lord was telling me was that circumcision was a type, not of the cutting of the way of the flesh so much as it was a type of exposing the source of life. Mm-hmm. See? And that was what he told me.
That's good.
And you know, in the natural, you know, when a man is circumcised, the source of the seed of life is exposed. You know, when he's uncircumcised, it's not. And you know, and we've made the statement, I'm not trying to be vulgar, but people have made the statement over the years that men sometimes think with the little head other than the big head, you know,
yeah,
what
true.
I mean? They're warm
true,
shoulders.
True.
And I'm not trying to be vulgar, but that's sort of true. But what God was telling me is that, you know, the circumcision of your heart is I'm exposing the source of new life.
Yes.
That's what I'm doing. I'm opening up the source of new life so it can be seen, you know, all the time. And, you know, and that's basically the way he dealt with me about circumcision. And some of those other things that you were talking about, those handwriting ordinances, in other portions of Scripture, it'll tell you that he took them and he nailed them to the cross. And it doesn't mean that the law ever went away. The law was given to show the exceeding sinfulness of sin and to let us know that we could not fulfill it in our own strength. And the new commandment that Jesus gave us was that we love one another. Even, you know, even as we've, the last one, the greatest commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, you know, and all that, so on and so forth. But he said, I give you a new commandment that you love one another.
Yes.
Even as I have loved you. Well, we know he loved us enough that he gave his life for us.
Yes.
Poured it out a ransom for us. But you know, a lot of this stuff is the traditions of the elders. Even back then were making the word of God of no effect because they kept bringing in the law. And a lot of churches that you go into today are still like that. They try to bring in the law, and a lot of the law they're bringing in is laws they've made up. You know, they've got ordinances and traditions and things.
Hang on to a few of them.
I remember one time Fred Odell talked about, you know, when he was here one time, he talked about, you know, he said, I can go into a church and they can have their creed, you know, some churches have their creed hanging on the wall up by the front of the church somewhere, and their creed is, you know, this, we believe this, that, you know, so on and so forth. And he said, you know, I can go in there and I could say to them, you know, number 5 or number 8 or whatever it is on your list. He said, I could say, well, you know, God's word says this or something like that. And he said, they'd fight me tooth and nail. He said, but if I go in there and I start preaching under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, he said, I can tear number 8 all to pieces, you know, by showing the reality of what God's word really says. And he says, they'll be sitting there howling, amen, praise the Lord. Yeah, because it's under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And you know, the anointing of the Holy Spirit was given to break the yokes that bind people,
yes,
you know.
Jesus.
So even what Kathy was saying about, you know, God changed you.
Oh.
And what you've learned to do is not look at people through your old perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look through a different perspective, things that they say, in other words, you weren't looking for them to say something that would offend you. if you look for people to say something, you'll, every little jot and tittle, you'll find something that you can say, well, maybe they meant this, or maybe they meant that, and when they maybe they didn't mean it at all, you know. But it's neat how God works on us all and begins to cause us to grow up to where we don't get so offended by everything that everybody says or does or whatever, you know. But, you know, I agree with everything I was hearing y'all say. I mean, I thought it was very good. You know, I like to just sit back and listen to y'all sometimes, you know.
Then he sees where we are.
I know
where you all are. I know you all are growing up and you're growing and growing by leaps and bounds in the Lord, and I love it. I mean, I think it's wonderful, you know. And you know, Clyde said something a few weeks ago. He said, well, you know, Oscar, he said, a lot of the people have left because they don't want to grow up. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, I don't know, Clyde. I said, maybe that's right. You know, I mean, I'm not going to proclaim that on people. Mm-hmm. But you know, if that's why some of the people left, that's okay. God will deal with them in their own time, in their own way. But, you know, but I also know that if you grow up and God sends you out into other things, we should rejoice in that and not, I don't get upset because some of the brothers have left. I mean, I hope they fulfill all of God's purposes and plans in their life. I'm not trying to hold nobody here, you know, because God has to be the one that holds anybody anywhere anyway, you know. He taught me years ago, whatever I place in your hand, hold it loosely. I'll keep it there if it's supposed to be there. If it's not, I'll take it away. But a lot of times people try to grab onto something and they don't want to let go. And a lot of times it's the doctrines of men, and the doctrines of men are going to produce death, not life, you know. That's my little mini sermon.
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah. When I look at, there was what, maybe, what if that's how many, I think it was maybe 11 of us, as you do, that many, mm-hmm. that we meet together,
yeah.
and it's been going on before we got married, but yeah. And they're from different churches in Urbana, mm-hmm. and I know some of them have different traditions, mm-hmm. different things, you know, but I found when you look and see some things where they are not, that God has revealed to you and brought mm-hmm. truth to you and Him,
right.
that it causes you to want to pray for them and not try to preach to them,
right.
and not try to prove to them
right.
what God has revealed to you, but to share the Christ. And so when we get together, different ones have different things that you know, they share, and we pray a lot for other people. People, we have a little website. People come on and ask for prayer, you know, and that. And we've seen God move, you know, through people just praying together, believing God. And so I found that God just wants Christ to be expressed in and through. I found that for myself. Instead of looking and trying to say, well, they don't believe that. Well, that, and then you want to share a scripture or say that is going to enlighten them,
right.
but you need to leave them where they are and
right.
let God enlighten them,
let
just
God
like
do
He's doing us every day. You know, every day
yeah.
He's enlightening and revealing Himself greater in us, causing us to grow up more in Him.
You see what Brother Eddie said years ago? He said, sons of God are they which can ascend
yes.
and
yes.
condescend to men of all states. Well, when you condescend to a man of a lower estate in understanding, and I'm not saying anybody's lower in any way, but in understanding, then what you do is you go down and you fellowship with them on their level, see? But that doesn't mean that you compromise anything that you believe. You know, the things that they say that you know that isn't really true, you know, in reality, then you just leave that alone, other than you share what God has shown you in a certain situation. Well, when you do that, you know, you're not going to really offend them, you know. And like the scripture says, if you offend a brother, they're harder to win than a city. And that's true. I mean, if you offend somebody, then and they're harder to win than the city, it's pretty hard to go out and win the whole city. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's not an easy thing. That's a pretty miraculous task there. But, you know, and I think what God was showing you, even in your fellowship with those people, is, you know, fellowship where you can. Leave it alone. Let God, you know, that's the thing. One plants, another waters. But who gives the increase?
God.
Only God. He's the only one that gives the increase. So it has to be God. And, you know, the neat thing is, too, is the reality that God shows you, people can't shake you off of that. I don't care who they are. They can't doctrinally shake you off of that or anything else. But the doctrines of men, you can be shaken off of those, you know. But that's the neat thing about, you know what God has shown you and spoke to your heart, then you just need to walk in that.
Yes.
And walk in love towards your brothers and your sisters, and let God do the changing or the chipping away or whatever it is, you know.
And I think the more you're around, they begin, I have found this with some, that they have looked at you or listened to you or what, they begin to trust you and to, you know, they begin to trust you, and then when they see your love and what you're, they're more open to receive what word God is bringing forth.
Yeah. What does the word say? That his word never returns void.
Yeah.
So even when you share something with someone, you know, I mean, there's been times when I've shared sermons and I've come down off the platform in years past and I'd have somebody come up to and say something to me, and maybe I said something that had absolutely, someone would come up to me and say, well, I really liked what you said about this, you know, and I'm thinking, yeah, but you didn't really hear what I said. You know what I mean? Because they heard that little story I told or whatever it was, but they didn't really hear. But then again, what you find out is that down the road somewhere, you'll hear that person, that word that you spoke to them years ago sometimes,
right,
all of a sudden you'll feel it here come right out of them. And then you're standing back. And you know, you kind of stand back and you smile a bit and you think, well, okay, God, he does. But it's all up to God. It's not so much up to us. And when we come to realize that, man, it just makes a world of difference in things, because we don't do as much struggling over people and over situations and stuff, because we realize it takes God to make the changes in people's lives. We can't do it.
Even though it's harder to win a city, God can win a city.
Oh, he can.
We
did it with Nineveh.
I think about the walls of Jericho.
Yeah, he did.
What was our part in that?
Yeah.
The children of God, what was their part?
Yeah.
Just march around it and praise God. Make a mighty song. And just keep marching.
Well, they did blow the trumpet.
Yeah.
They marched so many days before they blew the trumpet.
Yes.
Then they blew the trumpet,
and the walls
came down.
Praise
well,
God.
The trumpet in Scripture, is a message. It's a message, because you blew the trumpet to let people know something was going to happen.
Okay.
Something was happening.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I don't know if you all, most of you all probably never been around it or not, but I was at a couple of gospel things where people brought in a chauffeur, which is a ram's horn.
Yes.
And they actually had a big long ram's horn, you know, like what Israel used, and they blow that shofar every so often.
That reminded me of
in the natural, but I mean, it was kind of, you think, wow, you know, it was kind of neat.
Attention.
It was kind of neat in a way, you know, because you thought, wow.
That was,
you know,
instead of yelling hallelujah, hear something like,
yeah.
It
was kind of neat in a way.
Tobias' friend Steve.
Yeah.
Tobias went to his, and Tobias blew the soap. Well, he tried the first time, but after a while, you got it where
he could
do it.
It's hard.
It's a little bit hard. It's like a trumpet. You got to get it. Your lips just right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know. But,
and he because Steve more or less claimed, you know, was claimed Jewish,
yeah,
that had been converted, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And him and Tobias became very close. I know it was hard for Tobias because they fellowshiped. And they did a lot of things, went to fairs and went to things. They did a lot of things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he only knew him, what, a few months, didn't
yeah.
he? But they, some of the sisters knew him like 5 years, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then he passed suddenly with a heart attack, and a friend was at their house. And he had been teaching Tobias, learning Hebrew.
Yeah.
Hebrew.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, Tobias learned and said it, was it, 23rd Psalm, was that what he did?
I can't remember.
He did it in Hebrew up there, and because they had graveside service.
Oh.
And he did it, Tobias did it, and he, out of respect, you know, to him. And then and Blue had a hard time, it was cold out too, trying to blow, but he finally got it, you know, and he did, you know, blow it.
When we met Steve, we met him at was it just a dinner or somebody's
birthday? It was Tobias's birthday.
And he had the black hat on, mm-hmm. black coat,
mm-hmm.
big beard,
mm-hmm.
gloves.
And he, like he broke bread and passed it all around the table.
Mm-hmm. And this was him. And you know what I found from that, because I said, Lord, talking. You were very, I don't know how much, I had opinion about that.
Yeah.
And see, I was looking at him and not see, he really loved the Lord, and Tobias and him, you know, fellowshipped, and it was only a few months, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And he died, heart attack, and he was only in his 50s, wasn't he? I think
he was 50.
Yes.
You know, we was talking about the trumpets a minute ago and the shofar, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when Solomon built the temple, there was 120 trumpeters. And they blew the trumpets, and then the glory of the Lord fell upon the temple.
Mm.
And I mean, I don't believe they could even stand up. It was so glorious when God's presence came. Well, if you know what happened on the day of Pentecost, there was 120 people in the upper room, and the glory of God fell.
Mm.
You know, they were the 120 new trumpeters, so to speak,
the real
trumpeters, you know.
Because
that was in type and shadow back there.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, that's why when you look, when you study into the Word, it is so perfect. I mean, it is just perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And there'll be things that'll look like it contradicts, and it really doesn't. If you go under the surface and really see what it really is saying a lot of times. So Solomon's temple of the 120 trumpeters back there, then the Lord's 120 trumpeters that were in the upper room, and what does it say? They got in one accord. And it's funny that they use the word accord, because half of those musicians out there, I don't even know if they could even play music by notes. They play chords.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, back when Tim May was leading the music, he didn't play by reading music either, I don't think. He played by chords.
Mm-hmm.
And what he would do is he would put chord sheets up for them, and they would see the chords that they were supposed to play, and then they'd play the chords.
Mm-hmm.
And half of the real musicians out there, a lot of them don't even play by reading music. They play by chord sheets, you know.
Mm-hmm.
By learning by chords. And when you think about the way things happen, that 120,000, that 120 trumpeters up there, when they got into one accord,
mm-hmm.
they were all praising God, and they were all, you know, just, I mean,
you know,
and that glory of the Lord just swept in there, right, you know.
It was interesting that the shofar is a ram's horn.
Mm-hmm.
I see Jesus in that.
Oh yeah,
mm-hmm.
absolutely.
I wonder what 120 brilliant trumpeters, what is, I would love to hear this.
Yeah.
You can only imagine.
Yeah.
You only hear one sound.
Yeah.
You do.
It would all sound like one magnificent blast is what it would sound like.
Mm-hmm.
And see, the thing about it is that's why even the revelation that John had in the book of Revelations, when Jesus spoke, his voice was as the voice of many waters. I don't believe that he saw just Jesus Christ, just Jesus. He saw the fullness of the body of Christ standing there, because it was so glorious that he fell down like one dead. And when Daniel saw that same thing, you know, when he heard the it spoke, it was the voice of a great multitude. You know, I was talking about the fullness of the body of Christ. I believe that's what he was really showing there. You know, Jesus, it was Jesus, but it was Jesus in the fullness of his body, because it was so of one accord, all so glorious. Yeah, I mean, you know, and that's why we have to realize Revelations is not a apocalyptic book. It's actually a book of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And if we understand it, all of those things that are happening in there are happening right in here. You know, we go through all those different things that happens in the book of Revelations, you know.
Processing. Do you know, when you speak of one accord, I was in the service up in, I was newly saved, probably months, maybe a year, I can't remember exact. And we're Jan and Ron, his sister and brother-in-law, and the one young boy that played the piano had written, God had given him scripture, and so, you know, a lot of some songs that are passed around, they go all around the world, has come from the anointing upon God upon someone, and the scripture, and they began to sing, and it has become and passed. Someone in this group was at another meeting, and that they were singing and praising the congregation. And he began to sing and worship, and everyone joined in. And that whole congregation, in the spirit, I've never been in any service like that anywhere, were caught up in the spirit, and they were singing, some in tongues, were singing. It just sounded like one, when I hear as a sound of many waters, that's what that was like. It's like God just, never been in. I've been in many services, many places, many states too, but we used to go around to different places, you know, services and that.
Well, just imagine when the fullness of God begins to really come forth in his body, and all of a sudden they're all speaking the same thing.
Yes.
They're all speaking in one accord. Creation will be set free into the glorious liberty of being the children of God. And that's what creation's waiting for. If you remember, Jesus knew that his time had come when the Greeks and them came saying, we would see Jesus. See? Well, creation has been saying it out there, show us Jesus.
Yes.
Show us Jesus. We would see Jesus. Well, the body of Christ is going to have to grow up and show them Jesus. Show them Jesus.
Yes.
And when they do that, you know, creation will be set free into that glorious liberty of the children of God.
Jesus.
You know.
With that, that's wonderful. Wonderful place to close.
Yeah.
Mike, would you? Oh, no, you opened us, right? I can't have you do double duty. You're wearing out for the rest of the day. And the Bengals are playing. So how about Brandon?
I'll get ready to tell him. I saw him look. I said, yes. Oh, Father God, how we thank you, Lord. Gathering together in you, Father, and you in us, Lord. You being lifted, oh God, and lifting us, Father. We so thank you and give you praise. And as we go from this place, Father, may we just join with the others in the next service and just give you glory to God. And Father, we just thank you, give you praise, and give you praise, Lord. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.